You think it's going to be a long message. It's not. So turn in 2 Samuel 18 with me, and let's stand in honor of God's Word. 2 Samuel 18. Now, last week we left David on the run in Psalm 3. David wrote the psalm that Absalom is on David's tail, and it looks like, humanly speaking, David understands that he doesn't know if he's going to be able to escape this rebellion from Absalom. And then in chapter number 17, verse 23, when Ahithophel saw that his counsel was not followed, he saddled his ass and arose and got him home to his house, to his city, and put his household in order and hanged himself and died and was buried in the sepulcher of his father. Ahithophel, one of the main advisors to King David, knew that if Absalom would pursue David right then and there, that he would be able to overtake David, because he knew if David was given any amount of time to rally his troops, we understand that this is not David's first rodeo. He's fought in the hills. He's fought in the valleys. He's been on the run before. He's just a little older now. So I want you to think about that. Ahithophel knows he is toast, so he hangs himself. Hushai becomes David's advisor. But notice what happens after Ahithophel kills himself. Notice this in verse 18, chapter 18, verse 1. And David, the king of Israel, the mighty warrior that he was, David numbered the people that were with him and set captains of thousands and captains of hundreds over them. And David sent forth a third part of the people under the hand of Joab, and a third part under the hand of Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, Joab's brother, and a third part under the hand of Hittai the Gittite. And by the way, read about these guys sometime and the exploits that they did. They're just a little bit older now, but they still have got it. They still got it. And the king said unto the people, I will surely go forth with you myself also. But the people answered, Thou shalt not go forth, for if we flee away, they will not care for us. Neither if half of us die, will they care for us. But now thou art worth 10,000 of us, David. Therefore now it is better that thou secure us out of the city. And the king said unto them, What seemeth you best I will do. And the king stood by the gate side, and all the people came out by hundreds and by thousands. And the king commanded Joab and Abishai and Hittai, saying, Deal gently for my sake with the young man, even with Absalom. Now he's the rebel. And all the people heard when the king gave all the captains charge concerning Absalom. So the people went out into the field against Israel, and the battle was in the wood of Ephraim, where the people of Israel were slain before the servants of David. And there was there a great slaughter that day of 20,000 men. You think David still got it? You think Abishai, Hittai, and Joab can still fight the battle? You think David can still put men in array? You think David knows what he's doing? This is why Ahithophel killed himself. For the battle was scattered over the face of all the country, and the wood devoured more people that day than the sword devoured. And Absalom met the servants of David, and Absalom rode under a mule. And the mule went under the thick bough of a great oak, and his head caught hold of the oak, and he was taken up between the heaven and the earth, and the mule that was under him went away. And a certain man saw it, and said, and went and told Joab, and said, Behold, I saw Absalom and hanging in the oak. That we could call this part, hung by your hair. And that's why boys need to get a haircut. And Joab said unto the man that told him, And behold, thou sawest him, why didst thou not smite him to the ground? I would have given thee 10,000, I would give thee 10 shekels of silver and a girdle. And the man said unto Joab, Though I should receive 1,000 shekels of silver in my hand, yet would I not put forth my hand against the king's son. For in our hearing the king charged thee and Abishai and Hittai saying, beware that none touch the young man Absalom. Otherwise, I should have wrought falsehood against my own life. For there is no matter hid from the king, and thou thyself wouldst have set thyself against me. Then said Joab, I may not tarry thus with thee. And he took three darts in his hand, and he thrust them through the heart of Absalom while he was yet alive in the midst of the oak. And 10 young men that bare Joab's armor compassed about and smote Absalom and slew him. And Joab blew the trumpet, and the people returned from pursuing after Israel, for Joab held back the people. And they took, this is the end result of rebellion. And they took Absalom and cast him into a great pit in the wood, and laid a very great heap of stones upon him, and all Israel fled every one to his tent. God help us tonight as we look at this simple message of the death of a rebel. I pray, Lord, that we might understand what you think about rebellion. We could look at some examples in the Bible of rebellion. I think about beginning with Cain in the book of Genesis and ending with the wickedness of Babylon in the Revelation. These were wicked. I think about Judas Iscariot. I think about Ahab and Jezebel. I think about, Lord, the end result of every rebel has never ended good. God, I pray tonight that as we look at this very, very simple thought of rebellion, that we as God's people would not want to have anything to do with rebellion. Whether it's rebellion against our parents, rebellion against the pastor, authority, teachers, those who have been put in charge of us, whether it's the king of Israel and David, God, may we see that rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. I pray, God, that you would help in the very simple thought tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I remember about maybe 15 or 20, well, actually, it was probably 20, I mean, time just goes by so fast. Over 25 years ago, I was working at Federal Express. I was a FedEx driver, and I did that for almost 9-10 years. And I remember going to the campus there in Warrensburg, Missouri. And I would deliver there on a daily basis. That was my route for several, 3-4 years. I could tell you anything about that city ever. I knew every corner of it. And just like I had done. I mean, it's still in my mind when I worked here in Springfield. Somebody goes south, Glenstone, 3000 South. I know that's at Battlefield Mall. I knew the every street in Springfield, what how far south, how far north and west and east and all that. And I remember going on the campus, and all of a sudden there was these people that had these shirts on, and they were something to the effect on these shirts that proud to be a rebel. And I was like, my. And then I thought, wow, rebellion in our society is sometimes today worn as some kind of badge of honor. Like it's a good thing to be rebellious. But the Bible makes it very clear that rebellion is just the same as being a witch or a warlock or some kind of witchcraft. And witchcraft is literally demonic worship. It's demon worship. That's what witchcraft is. And there is never a good witch. There is no such thing as a good witch or warlock or wickedness. And there's no good. There's no such thing as good rebellion. Rebellion, the Bible says, is as the sin of witchcraft. If you were to look up the word rebellion, it is literally defined as this: an open and avowed renunciation of authority. My friend, God set David as the king of Israel. Nobody else did that. Samuel was told to go to the house of Jesse and to anoint David through a process, to anoint David to be the next king of Israel after Saul. Why was David chosen? He was a man after God's own heart. Why did he refuse Saul? because Saul rebelled against what God told him to do in the area of the Amalekites. He told Saul that I am now, after all of these hundreds of years, that the Amalekites, how they came in behind when Moses was the leader and leading the nation of Israel, the Amalekites came behind and they did great damage to Israel, and I have pronounced judgment upon them, and now it's time to execute that judgment. And Saul, I'm going to use you to bring judgment against the Amalekites, and here's what I want you to do. I want you to go and I want you to wipe the Amalekites out. And he didn't do that. And we know the story that we saw. So Samuel confronts Saul and he says, why didn't you do what God said? And he said, well, I did accept. No, I did accept is rebellion. When your parents tell you to do something and you say, well, I did accept, or can I wait, or hey, that's rebellion. I'm just telling you that tonight, that we need to understand what God thinks about rebellion. And so God laid aside Saul and God anointed David. Now we know that from the time that David was anointed to be the king of Israel as a young man, that it took many years, 15, 20 years, before David finally was brought to the throne of Israel. But the point is God chose David to be the king of Israel. He did not choose Absalom to be the king of Israel. And Absalom is a picture of a rebel, just like Cain is a picture of a rebel. Cain rebelled in the way of salvation. God said that if you're going to be saved, if you're going to have your sins forgiven, if you're going to be saved, you're going to have to bring a blood sacrifice. And he said, no, I don't care what God says. I'm going to bring the fruits of my hand. That's a rebel. Amen. And Absalom is a rebel. We know that according to what we've read in the previous message, he stole the hearts of the people. He has committed sins with his father's concubines. And now his desire is to kill David, the king of Israel. Do you remember that David would not touch Saul? On several occasions, his men would say, hey, we got Saul, what we're on. And David said, I'm not going to touch him. He was anointed by God. Listen, David was not a rebel. David sinned. David paid for his sin. There's no doubt. But one thing about David, he was a great repenter. He was a man after God's own heart. He is dealing with this, but I'm just telling you right now, Absalom is a rebel. He's in full rebellion against his father. And he wanted to kill David and become the king of Israel. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Absalom wanted to be king, and he wanted to be remembered as a great man. But the Bible told us when we read the text tonight that he dies alone, sad, empty, and in shame. He brought himself to the place of death. Now look at verse number 18, and I didn't read this, but the first thing I want you to see about Absalom, the rebel, is he wanted to be famous. He wanted people to adore him. Now the way he did it is he sat at the gate and people would come, and as they were making their way to Jerusalem and they had some kind of problem and maybe they were going to go to the king or to the counselors, Solomon would stop them and say, well, tell me what your problem is. You know, I'm the king's son. Tell me what your problem is. And they said, well, we're going to Jerusalem. I need to meet with the king. This is my issue, you know, a man out there in Ephraim, he didn't do me right and blah, blah. And Solomon and Absalom would say, now, let me just tell you, if I was king, let me tell you what I'd do. He said, now just listen to me. My father David, let me just tell you about, now this, I, listen, let me tell you about David. He's old fashioned. You know, he's just an old fuddy-duddy. In fact, he's probably lost it. He's about half out of his mind anyway. And you don't need to listen. Let me tell you what I would do. And listen, this is what he did. A rebel draws people to themselves to have no business doing that. He's not the king. He has no authority to do what he's doing, but he begins to get the hearts of the young people. He starts changing the music. He starts changing the doctrines. He throws out the old King James Bible. I'm just using that as kind of like people want, oh, let's get, we need to, you know, I mean, Pastor Abels, he just believes in that old kind of fashion music. Amen, I do. He still preaches out of that old King James Bible. Amen, yes, I do. He still believes that we should have high standards. Amen. Listen, I may not can jump up three pews now, but I'd still stand on the platform. I'd still stand on the communion table and preach. And he begins to draw people away. And then we know that he makes his move. And he does something ignorant in that he listens to Hushai instead of listening to Ahithophel. Ahithophel, his counsel was as the counsel of God, the Bible says. But he put himself, listen, let me tell you something. You don't want to line up with a rebel. Because it'll never turn out good. Never. It'll never turn out good if you line up yourself with a rebel. And oh, Ahithophel, he's so smart, he's so wise that when Absalom takes the advice of Hushai instead of him, he goes and hangs himself because you know why? He knows he's toast anyway because he knows David. And he knows David gets out in those woods with Abishai and Joab and Hittai the Gittite. He knows who those guys are. Read about them mighty men. I'm telling you, he goes out there and he said, oh, I'm in trouble. You know what? You know what Absalom wanted? Absalom wanted fame. You know what we should want? Humility. Now, the reason I say he wanted fame, go down to verse number 18 in chapter 18, and I didn't read this, but look what the Bible says. Now, Absalom in his lifetime had taken and reared up for himself a pillar which is in the king's dale, for he said, I have no son to keep my name in remembrance. And he called the pillar after his own name, and it is called unto this day Absalom Place. So here we find that in the Kindrod Valley, Absalom constructed a pillar because he wanted something to make a name for himself. It's not quite, but it reminds me of Nebuchadnezzar, who built this great high statue of himself. I mean, he goes, hey, I mean, look at me. I am so awesome. I am so great. He said, I want to build this statue and I want everybody to bow down at my statue. So at the sound of the cornet and the sackbut and the instruments, I want everybody to fall down and worship him, worship this golden idol. And we know that. But we also know that eventually Daniel stands before King Nebuchadnezzar and says, Neb, you better give glory to God. Neb, you better humble yourself before God. And he gave, and I'm telling you, Daniel preached straight to King Nebuchadnezzar. But one day, Nebuchadnezzar walks out on the veranda and he goes, man, look at how awesome I am. Look at this kingdom that I have built. I, me. And God said, I'm going to tell you what, Neb. I'm going to put the whammy on you. Whacko! And the next thing you know, the Bible says for 7 years, Nebuchadnezzar is down on all fours and his fingernails get real long and his hair gets real long and he has no mind, if you would, but yet he's in there. You know what I'm saying? The light was on, but nobody was home. His sausage slipped off his biscuit. He was several fries short of a Happy Meal. Everybody know what I'm saying? For 7 years. And then God gave him his understanding back and he stood up and he said, now I know that there is a God. Here's what I'm saying. A rebellion will never get you anywhere except the judgment of God. And I'm going to tell you, he wanted fame. Luke chapter 14, verse 11 says, for whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humble himself shall be exalted. Proverbs 3:35 says, the wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. How will people remember Absalom? As a rebel. As a long-haired, hippie-like, God-like, to the people of Israel, hanging in a tree with three darts through his heart, cut him down. I hope they cut his hair down, throws him in a pit, covers him up, and there is no fame. And Joab, we're going to find out, has to grab a hold of David and shake him and say, because David cries out, "Oh, Absalom, oh, Absalom, my son." And Joab said, "He was a rebel. David, he would have killed you if he had got a chance." Can you imagine what it would have been like under the leadership of Absalom for the nation of Israel? Kind of like Manasseh or some of these other guys that we're going to read about and reading through your Bible study. I mean, if all the wickedness, they said Manasseh was wicked above wicked, yet his son Josiah was the last chance for revival. And they went into captivity. Now the question for us tonight is, how are we going to be remembered? Well, I'll tell you how you're going to be remembered: by the way you live your life now. Don't ruin your life by rebellion. And I'm going to tell you, those who rise up against authority, whether it's the authority of Moses or whether it's the authority of David, rebellion is an open renunciation of authority. Amen. And it can also be parents or a pastor. Or something like that. I'm just telling you, when they're being rebels, they'll go, "Oh, you don't need to listen to your parents. Oh, you don't need to listen to the pastor." That's what a rebel always says. Christians are the light of the world. But let me just tell you something about that. You got to turn the switch on. So in verse number 6-8, David sets himself in array. And the Bible said the people went out in the field against Israel, and the battle was in the wood of Ephraim, where the people of Israel were slain, listen to this, before the servants of David. And those men that came against David, and those who followed Absalom, and those who went in rebellion against God's authority, 20,000 of them died that day. There's always casualties when a rebel's trying to take over. The battle was intense. It spread throughout the entire countryside, and 20,000 men died. David and his men. You know what David knew? David knew how to fight in a swamp. He knew how to fight in a slope. He knew how to fight on a cliff. He knew what guerrilla warfare was all about. Why? Because he had done this before. Isn't it amazing that a rebel has this grand idea that he's going to make everything better? And he's going to get his way, and he's going to do... And by the way, rebels always ain't happy unless they got their little rebellious crowd to go along with them and to follow them. I think these men felt like they were back. David and Hittai and Abishai. I think these men felt like we're back in the old days, man. We got one last run. I remember when a couple years ago, of course, you know I like golf, and I like the majors in golf. I like the Masters. I like the U.S. Open. I like the Open over in this year they played on St. Andrews. But I remember a couple of years ago, old Tom Watson, here he was in his late 50s, early 60s, and he made a charge. And man, I'm telling you, I was old enough by then, I was rooting for the old man. And old Stuart Sink, beat him. But man, he came right down to the wire, and I was rooting for him. And now the older I get, the more I root for the old guys. Old guys got experience. Old guy's been down the path before. David knew what it was like running from Saul and killing Philistines. And David is about to enjoy victory in the fight, but you know what? He's going to lose a son in the process. Why is he going to lose a son? Because his son is a rebel. Now, we could preach a whole message about David and his fatherhood and how he basically let Absalom get away with the stuff he should have never let him get away with. He should have confronted him. But I'm going to tell you this, a rebel will always die bad. His fame will be brought to nothing. David's army had been supplied, renewed, refreshed, and they're about to kill their own countrymen who stand with Absalom. Don't stand with a rebel, my friend. Don't do it. When you stand with a rebel, you'll always lose. You know why? Because good always overcomes evil. In the fight, Absalom encounters his father's force and attempts to escape on a mule. I always thought, wonder where his horse is. I wonder where his horses were that he displayed earlier with such great grandeur. Because he's going to die in humility on a mule, on a donkey. The source of Absalom's pride becomes the source of Absalom's fall. And you say, well, what is that? His big head and his long hair. How do you know he had a big head? Well, he had to. I don't know, but he had a big head. Well, because he was full of pride. That's how I know. Yeah, He is hanging over the ground and he's alone. Where's everybody at? Because eventually a rebel will be left by himself. No bodyguards, no friends, no one to help. Let me just tell you something. When a man like that's hanging by his hair, this would have been a good time to repent and say, I've done wrong. God's placed me at this. I better get right with God. No. No, he didn't do that. And so we see a great failure in verses 10 through 5. The Bible, and we see the guy comes and says, hey, Joab, I saw Absalom hanging by his head over there. Why didn't you kill him? I'd give you $10. He goes, well, you could give me $1,000 and I wouldn't do it. Didn't you hear what the King David said? And Joab yelled, I heard, but I'm going to tell you, he's the rebel, he's the enemy. Three darts. Oh, Absalom, Joab, David, wake up. He's a rebel. Yeah, but he's my son. Yeah, but he's a rebel. Everybody getting this? Well, let me give you some scripture. I want you to go back to Deuteronomy chapter number 21. Real fast, Deuteronomy 21. Let me just tell you what the law said about a guy like Absalom. Deuteronomy 21, this is under the law, verse 18. If a man have a stubborn and rebellious son, which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and that when they have chastened him will not hearken unto them, then shall his father and his mother lay hold of him and bring him out unto the elders of the city and unto the gate of the place, and they shall say unto the elders of his city, this is our son. He is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and drunken. And all the men of the city shall stone him with stones, that he die, so thou shalt put evil away from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. Wow. Watch, pretty stiff. Glad we don't live under the law. We might not have very many kids left. Because in this culture, parents let their kids do whatever they want many times. Shouldn't be that way. Better listen to me, parents. Need to make sure your kids are in order. Somebody say amen. What a sad ending to one's life. Job 20 verse 5 says that the triumphing of the wicked is short and the joy of the hypocrite but for a moment. Hebrews 11:25 says, choosing rather to suffer the affliction with the people of God than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Proverbs 15:5 says, a fool despiseth his father's instruction, but that regardeth reproof is prudent. Preacher, you know anything about rebellion? Yes. I was a rebellious teenager. And I don't hold it as a badge of honor. I go back now and think of the disrespect that I had for my parents on several occasions. I grew up. I got saved. I began to learn that my dad was a whole lot smarter than I ever thought he was. And every day that I grew in my 20s and in my 30s, every day my dad got smarter and smarter and smarter. I think David, the old man, knew what he... I think he still had it going on. What a rebel. What a shame. You should be ashamed if you can't obey authority. You should just be ashamed. You should get on your knees before God and repent for your attitude. Proverbs 20 says... Verse 20, whoso curseth his father or his mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness. Boy, it didn't work out too good for Absalom, did it? Proverbs 30, verse 17, the eye that mocketh at his father and despiseth to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out and the young eagles shall eat it. Absalom was a failure because Absalom was a fool. He was a fool because he was rebellious. Rebellion ruined the life of people like Cain when God put a mark on him after he killed his brother Abel. He said, I cannot bear this. Hey, you did that. I think about Samson, who could have done great damage to the Philistines, but he disobeyed the law. He disobeyed his mother and his father, and he was a baby and wanted his own way. I think about Hophni and Phinehas. I think about the sons of Korah, who got sucked up because they went against Moses and the authority. Listen, God put Moses in the place that God put Moses. And they rebelled against Moses, and God had a business meeting with him one day, and he said, if you're on the Korah side, come over here. If you're on Moses' side, come over here. And they split it up, and God said, now we're going to have a business meeting here about this. And he opened up the earth and sucked them down, closed up the earth. And Moses, any more business? They said, no, we think we'll go back to our tent. Everything's good. Now, God may not do it exactly like that, but God will do it like that. It may just take a little time to open up the earth. I think about Achan, who decided that he didn't want to obey when they went into Jericho. And God said, kill it all, destroy it all. We're not going to get anything. But he saw a wedge of gold in a Babylonian garment. He said, oh man, that looks good. I think about the prodigal son who found himself in a hog pen and realized that eating hog food, I mean, the pig game's awesome, but eating hog food ain't good. And he said, my father's servants eat better. Do better than this. I'm going to go to my father. He repented. He got right with God. He said, I'm going to go to my father and I'm going to say, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you, and I'm no more worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired servants. You see, that was one that got right. I think about Judas Iscariot, who for 3.5 years walked with Jesus Christ, saw the miracles, saw Jesus Christ raise the dead, cause the blind to see, healed the lepers, but he was more concerned about the money bag than he was about what was going on around him, and died and went to hell. And then I think about Saul and the rebellion he had in the Amalekites. I'm going to tell you something, folks, just listen to me. If you rebel, you're going to lose God's blessings. If you rebel, you're going to ruin your testimony for Jesus Christ. If you rebel, you're going to ripen your heart for sinful pleasure. If you rebel, your mind is going to come up bitter. If you rebel, you're going to have defiant thoughts against authority. Oh, I can't stand that guy. You're going to have a miserable future. You're going to receive God's judgment and punishment. You're going to just live for yourself, me, myself, and I. Rebel only thinks about himself, never thinks about others. You're going to be rewarded with misery and unhappiness. You're going to reject those who love you and care for you. You're going to relax your attitude toward the Word of God and prayer and the Bible and church. You're going to resist the friendship of godly Christians. You're going to replace God's authority with self-authority. You're going to bring back old sinful habits that you once conquered. And you're going to be dead and lying in a pit. And nobody's going to remember you. Except that you were a rebel. Absalom wanted fame, and he ended in failure. The fight was won. Rebellion ruined the life of Absalom. And it'll also ruin your life too. Get right with God. Don't be a rebel. Let's stand tonight, every head bowed.